That is wickedness. I don't love you. There's one we do in Enugu. I don't know about Port Harcourt, because I grew up in the West. And I knew the Yoruba culture when it comes to wedding ceremonies. I'm used to that culture. One of the things, in fact, like when I was wedding, okay, I did best man twice. How many times? Two of my friends were there before me. I was their best man. I was best man for one, for the other. Each time, you buy your own suit with your own money. One of my friends said, we had to wear matching shoes. I said, what, do we have to wear matching shoes? He said, yes, I had to buy shoes. We had to wear matching tie. I had to buy the tie. I was feeling bad, but I was buying it. Why was I feeling bad? I didn't have the money. I was broke. In fact, one of those my friends, he had a lot of money, so he paid for it. Then I refunded him. Because the wedding was coming up, we needed to get the suit ready. I didn't have money, so he paid for my suit. Oh boy, where's my money? After I refunded him. And that's the normal thing. Then I go to Enugu. I see a man buy a suit, buy one for himself, one for his best man. Girls will say they are on bridal train, they are bridesmaids. They will go to do hair, and the bride will pay. Hey, thank you. See the way you are responding. God bless you, my sister. Me and you are on the same side now. So I banned those who listen to me. I said, what height of wickedness is that? That is why you are discouraging people from wedding, when you added to their load. When friends are supposed... In fact, if I had my way, the best man, you buy the groom suit. Why are you his best man? You should be the best friend. You should be the person that wish him the best, the most. I said, the Bible says it is more blessed to give. This fellow, you know the way our society is, the way wedding is around our society here. It's costing him a lot of money. Why do you want to add to his load? So those who listen to me, I've told them, it's wickedness. Don't do it again. If you collect that suit, you say, but what if I don't have money for suit? Then don't be best man. You're a bad man. Go and stay somewhere else. Get somebody else to be the best man. What is your problem? Go and look for your money for your suit. I'm talking about making what? Giving a habit. I learned that in language. He says it's more blessed. People will do something, they will succeed. They will say, come and wash it. I wonder, how can he come and wash it? I learned that long ago. You come to me and say, ah, sir, I passed my exam. You did? Come. Give him a bottle of Coke and a plate of rice. I celebrate the effort. Thank God in your life. It's more blessed to give. Those people will finish the exam. When we do postgraduate, you not gather people spending money to wash it. I said, this is not right. I'm the one that read for months. I'm the one that couldn't sleep. I did all of that. Then your way of celebrating with me is to demand from me. If I choose to say, this I want to say, thank you, Father. Fine. That's why I said, if you are the one doing it, it is okay. But it is wrong for the rest of us to demand it of you. We should come to you and say, oh boy, for this feat that the Lord has helped you to do, here is 500 naira. Please, buy a drink on your way home. Please, eat. You see, you lost weight while you were reading for this exam. Gain some weight back. All right? There's 1,000. Buy rice when you are going home. You know, if we did that, people will be succeeding some more. They will just gauge and say, nah, I need to pass an exam more because the way. But now, people are afraid. I'm talking about Christians making giving a culture. Let me say another thing because I'm running many things now. Another thing I want to say is giving to God. When we talk about giving to God, it's an important thing we should know how to do. Please read my book, How to Work for God. Because of time, I will just be brief about it. But the book, in two books, Grace to Prosper and How to Work for God. Please read those books. I took time out to explain how to give to God. First, let me just say this quickly. Now, what I want to talk about now is how to give to God, all right? I'm switching. I'm just saying many things so that we can say as much as possible in the time that we have. But people ask me sometimes, should a Christian tithe? I'll just tell you what I know, not just what I think. Every law has a spirit. You hear what I said? When Paul said in Galatians chapter 5, walk in the spirit, and you will not fulfill the desires of the law of the flesh. He was, people, this is how we used to interpret it. When you want to do anything, my spirit says go this way. My spirit says go that way. We call it walking in the spirit. And I've noticed that those who walk in the spirit like that are some of the most difficult people to relate with. They will be so unreasonable, but you can't talk because their spirit has spoken. We'll be going on the road. So let's cross here instead of going down the other end. He said, no, my spirit said we should go and cross that way. This is what I do if I'm the one now. It's all right. I am crossing here. Go to where your own spirit says you cross. I'll wait for you on the other side. I'm the one that said I'm crossing here. So I'm not going to follow your spirit. It's not my spirit that spoke. It's your own. I have noticed it. Those spirit people can be difficult people. As we're dressing this morning, and by the way, if you're a spiritual wife, don't try that with your husband. It's witchcraft. Did you hear what I said? Don't try that spirituality with your husband. It's annoying. I'm your husband. Thank God my wife is not spiritual. She's my wife. You understand? In quotes, what you know by spiritual now. Don't try it. When you get to church, you can be doing that your spirit thing. When you get home, be a humble, submissive person that can be, that a man can reason with. Don't use your spirit to harass us. When we do what you want to do now, we feel like we are disobeying God, and your witchcraft will make the thing fail. You now say that, you see, God didn't listen to me. Meanwhile, it failed because you were in disagreement. Disharmony that you created by your spirituality created disorder in the house. God could help us again. So next time you should listen to me. You have used spirituality to become a witch in the house. Witchcraft is when Jezebel wants to run Ahab. That's witchcraft. Your husband is supposed to be the boss. Don't be spiritualizing things to control him. You may think you are righteous, but that is pure sanctified witchcraft. I hope I'm clear. Yes, sir. Our Christianity becomes like a joke. You do things that are so stupid and unreasonable. Why did you do it, my spirit? Your spirit know they think. Make it look as if you have a spirit, you must not be reasonable in life. Pastor Max, what was I saying before I got to that spirit? I just need to clarify that. Okay, I now know where I know where I was now. So when he said walk in the spirit, that was not what he was talking about. Yes, I remember. When he said walking in the spirit, that's not what he was talking about. What he called walking in the spirit is this. Paul was explaining that they were having an argument. Do we obey the law or not? He was saying to them, every law has a spirit. And he said, upon this law, Jesus was speaking, hang all the law, or upon these two commandments, hang all the law and the prophets. What are the two commandments? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and thou shalt do what? Love your neighbor. Let's start again. Give me the first one. Thou shalt love the Lord. Stop. What's the second one? Thou shalt love your neighbor. Stop. What's the common word in both of them? Love. Read Galatians chapter 5. Paul, what he called walk in the spirit was walk in love. Because the fundamental principle of the whole law is love. Love for God, love for your neighbor. Love for God, love for your neighbor. He said if you do that walking in love, you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. If my flesh says, take this phone, then my spirit says, are you seeing my point now? My spirit says, how will it affect the owner when he starts looking for it? One young woman lived with us once. I told my wife, what I hated about her was not that she stole. Very quiet girl, you wouldn't suspect her. But she was a thief. I told my wife, after I sent her away, I said, what I hated about her is not that she used to steal. It's just that you will see the confusion will go through in the house. And you'll be there, calm. You will see me, you know, ransacking things. I remember one very beautiful, expensive gold ring, pure gold, 21 carat or so, that I bought for my wife for her birthday. One day, she went to the bath. She came, she told me she was looking for her ring. Very heavy ring like this. She told my cousin, Emil, that was staying with us. He said, I kept this ring here. The guy said, yes, that day I took it, I handed it to you, you put it in your pocket. And he was telling the truth. But my wife couldn't remember that part of the transaction. Because he was a man, he was a natural suspect. We looked. You know, you see, I mean, my phone would disappear. And I'm like, asking my wife, where is this phone? Last time I saw it was on this table. And you see me ransacking the whole house, turning the house upside down. I told my wife, that was what I hated about her. It's not a stealing, it's a wickedness. You stole something, you see another person being accused. And this went on for a long time because she was such a calm and quiet person, you could not suspect her. Wouldn't raise her voice against my wife. You know, play with the kids. Hard working, wake up early. Sometimes I hear kuru-kuru outside. What are you doing here? Look at the time. It's just 4:30. Back to your room, go and sleep. I don't want to ever see you come down before 5 in the morning or before 5:30. What kind of work are you doing? That kind of work up. You understand my point? Never complained. So you wouldn't ever suspect. Of course, let me not bore you with the details of how we now found out. Okay, the day it became suspicious was, you know, when God wants to expose somebody. Somebody handed my wife cash, crisp, sequential notes. And then, next day, she counted it was not complete. She said, no. This money, the only thing I did was to stop in this supermarket and I took out maybe 2,000 naira. And this is the 500 naira change from what I bought. It is supposed to be 18,000. Now it is 16. It's only 2,000 small, but nothing has happened. She didn't accuse anybody. She just kept quiet. And then one day, just dropped the young woman in school. As she came down, just said, wait, let me have your bag. Collected the bag, opened it, her money was lying inside there. The crisp notes. No, I think it was 11,000. Now, that's not the story I want to tell you. The story I want to tell you, what I'm bringing out is that what pained me is not the missing, like those kind of missing cash, it didn't hurt me. Because most of the time, we didn't know cash was missing. The one I couldn't stand is that you will see us, in quote, suffering. You will see somebody being accused wrongly, and you calmly walk past like nothing happened. That is what is called wickedness. I told my wife, that's what I didn't like about her. The wickedness. I'm about to take your thing. It should come to my heart. What will happen when you start looking for it? How do I put an adult like you into confusion for the next 2 days, wondering where you dropped your phone? I want to go and look for money to buy another one. I don't want anybody to do that to me. I love my neighbor as myself, so I will not take that phone. It's called love. So that's why I don't steal. One of the reasons. Yes. No, there are many more reasons. How God feels, you know, that's not my point. But let's just look at it. I take what belongs to you. Do you get my point? Love your neighbor as yourself. That was what Paul called the spirit of the law. It is the spirit of the law. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. When Saul disobeyed God, Samuel could not sleep. Why? He said God was feeling bad. So Samuel rose up, he too could not sleep. Why? The Lord was feeling bad. He loved the Lord with all his heart, his emotions. How do I do this thing and sin against God? Was that not what Joseph said? He loved the Lord. That is like, no, God trusts me too much for that. Oh, God trusts me too much for that. I'm a married man. My body belongs to my wife. How would I feel that I took something that belonged to her and gave to somebody else? That's what is called love. It's the spirit of the law. I just want to explain that. Back to what I was talking about. So people ask me that, Are Christians supposed to tithe? If you read my book, listen to me, I'll give it to you clear. The idea that I must calculate 10% of my income legalistically and bring it and drop it in what we created as a storehouse is not scripture. It's where we like it. Nothing wrong with it too. For example now, Kingdom World Ministries. All right, anytime we meet here, everybody that attends this meeting must give us 10% what's inside the pocket. If you don't like it, what do? You stay outside. You listen to me through the glass door. You buy the CD. You download it, you download it from the website. But if you pass through this door, if you don't calculate 10%, what's that? No, not 10. 50%. So when you come, you leave your things in the car. Then I will modify the doctrine. Anything that enters this hotel premises. The point I'm making is that it is the law I made. I have the right to make the law. I am the founder and president of Kingdom World Ministries. It's my privilege to make the law. You don't like it, you don't come. But it's not the law of God. It's not the law of God. There is nowhere that it, see, people say, what is your storehouse? What is storehouse? What is storehouse? The way you have heard it. Answer, no, I want you to answer me. You. Yes, no. Okay, so what is the principle behind keep calling our churches a storehouse to bring the tithes to? No, that you are reading the Bible. I'm not talking about your Bible. What we say is this is where we feed from. Therefore, we should bring, that's our storehouse. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible storehouse, people who put there don't take from there. If you have the power to put in the storehouse, it shows you are rich, you have money. It's meant for the poor, the strangers, and then the priests also took from there. So the theory that your storehouse is where you take from is not the concept that the Bible was talking about. Just like you rightly said, the storehouse was where the needy took from where we can give out. So it is not a compulsory thing from Scripture that once I go to a church, my tithe belongs there. Now, please, I'm trying to talk about laws. Okay? Did God say we should calculate 10% regularly as Christians? I don't have time to explain it. No, he never said so. But, please, so don't get stuck where I am right now. This is where I want you to follow me to. But, the only time tithing was explained in details was under the laws of Moses. And remember, there is a spirit behind every law. And Paul said to us clearly, walk in the spirit of that law. What is the spirit of the law? You, self, you are going to a church. Is it Dangote that will roof it? I don't know whether you are getting my point. Is it Dangote? Or no? Is your governor? Wike, will come and roof your church? No. Or maybe it is, what's the name of that guy that used to man disease? Tompolo. Is it Tompolo that will roof your church? Of course not. The spirit of the law is that there must be provision everywhere. The church must have. So I tell Christians, come on, make it a habit. I go to this church, this is the proportion. You can do one of two things. You can do an absolute figure, or you do a proportional figure. You can say every month, based on what I normally get, this church gets 25,000 naira from me every month. Do an automated transfer, forget it. For regular things. If emergency comes up, like in your own house too, you have regular amount to spend on food, but if one of your children were to fall sick and get rushed to the hospital, and the doctor said, bring money, do you say, we didn't budget for that? Do you say that? You look for the money. The other day, one of our sisters, I do some work with her, senior person, showed me a picture of some people doing mission work. I'll show it to you later. Make sure, okay, I know you are hurrying. But he showed me the picture of people doing some mission work. And in Enugu, they are living in a bacha. They are meeting in a bacha. You know what they call a bacha? Yes. They just pour concrete on the floor, then put a few sticks of wood, nail roofing, zinc.
When she showed it to me, I said, God in heaven, in this town. And they are surrounded by, oh God. If you want to see fine buildings, there are two places you see them in Nigeria. One, Abuja. Two, Enugu. There's nowhere. The rest, Enugu, Port Harcourt houses are covered with suits. So they don't have anything. Come to... I'm not kidding. Anytime my mother visits, she one of the things she liked doing was walking around, staring at the houses we have in Enugu. I used to say, one day, one guy, you know, I was telling my one of our brother architects, I said, look, use this kind of tiles. He said, that one. When he told me the price, I said, no, it can't be that costly. He said, why? I said, it's not that costly. No, I was trying to describe. He said, oh, God, that's the price. I said, but this man used it to plaster his house through and through. He looked at me and said, oh, God, some people have money. Because my own was, what? You know, very expensive tiles. The rest of us use it for designing small, you know, just one small square here. This man used it to paint, not one house, two or three, side by side. I'm not kidding. The cost of those tiles, we wrecked another beautiful bungalow. That's what we do in Enugu, man. No, I'm serious. Come to Enugu, I'm serious. Just walk around Independence Layout. You just look and say, uh-huh. And they say there's no money. That's your problem. We have money. Now, the point I'm making is that these people are surrounded by those kind of houses. And they are doing mission work. I didn't need anybody to calculate tithe for me. I said, look, I'm going to raise people to put a building there. Now, we couldn't because we now found out that the land was not their own because I was told initially that it was theirs. Okay? But I told them, I said, look, no. I said, give us 1 month. I said, no, I have friends that have money. I said, I will gather all of them. They will build this thing. I said, they will build this thing. How can people be surrounded by this kind of buildings? They want to construct. I'm not even saying build a cathedral for them. I just mean put blocks, put a proper roof, do a proper floor, and put doors. These guys are living inside that town. My people, that's all I reasoned about. The Holy Spirit didn't talk to me. My spirit didn't talk to me. I just used my eye to behold. When my eyes saw, my heart responded. When we went, they now found out that they didn't own the property. So I said, okay, let's just see. We'll just keep encouraging them until... You know, what I'm going to say is that what proportion of my income or the people I'm going to gather was going to go into that, I don't know. When I need to pay my children's school fees, I don't know the proportion of my income that goes. I don't know. I just meet a need. So I tell Christians, if you read my book, I say, what is a Christian tither? Or who is a Christian tither? I say, is a generous and cheerful giver who makes giving a habit. You go to church. You know, some people believe that the pastors, you know, the only give to pastors when they are poor. When you see the pastor, his shoe needs for organizer, he's walking like this. You know, those kind of shoes I have eaten. And I said, let's give to the man of God, but let him buy correct shoe. Lie. Like I always tell myself, as a man, we won't become poor for anybody's sake. I like good shoes. I'm going to buy good ones. If you like, don't give anything to me. Don't worry, you didn't call me to ministry. No, but listen, think about it. The man is preaching day and night. He's a pastor in your church. He has a wife, he has children. Your eyes should talk to you. There are things the Holy Spirit doesn't need to see. Some people see a man walking on the road, stop him and say, how is ministry? You're driving your fine car, past a man preaching, who's walking on the road, waiting for keke, and you're asking him, how is ministry? Sorry, but you are very stupid. How is ministry? If ministry was good, why is he waiting for keke? If ministry was good, why is he driving like you? Why are you not meeting at traffic light? You should park and say, man of God, how is ministry? Did you see what I did? You know, how is ministry? He will say, oh, praise God, the Lord is good. That's how Christians behave. All waiting for the pastor to go and look for one jackery, you know, one kind fire brigade preacher. As I was coming this morning, the Lord said to me, if my people are going to be blessed today, they are going to do something dangerous. Listen, it's because we are wicked. You know, people like that, they've not moved me in a very long time. One day I was in a church. They needed money. I know, they just bought one massive facility. I was impressed with it. And one man was up there. He was talking. Those days, how we used to worship. We would go regularly to the village. They would always carry the sacrifice. Today, we are going to worship God with a sacrifice. I said, how can your juju be teaching us Christians how to worship? I said, what kind of nonsense is that? So my sister beside me said, he knows how to raise money. I said, then why is he telling lies? I said, why is he telling lies? Let him ask for money and come down from that place. Why are you telling all these stories? You think God is not displeased with them? I mean, they flashed an account number. It's not my church. I just went to visit. They flashed an account number. I had my phone with me. I just put on the data. Put your account number. The money I wanted to give, I transferred it immediately. Closed the routine. Put my phone back. I said, you mustn't tell this whole story. No, the way I raise money, I have had to raise money in certain places. I was praying for my alumni fellowship for a long time. When I want to ask my brethren for money, I don't beg anybody. Paul said, instruct them to do good. I instruct you to do good. I'll be begging you. I told them, I said, my brethren, a lot of you are coming with flashy cars and you're giving me 100,000 naira offering. I said, what kind of rubbish is that? One of our brothers, you know, we needed money. That particular year, our money did not balance. And God has been good to us. Our money did balance. So that particular year, money not balance. And that's how the Holy Spirit lets you know all of you are committing iniquity. Anytime you go to war, you lose. Nothing's wrong with your enemy. It's you. You committed. A clan is in your camp. You have done something that is wrong. So I checked. I said, no, something is out of order. So my mind, I just said, no, what is wrong is that our brethren are not giving according to how God has increased them. That particular year, so our convention finished, we still needed money. So the brother who used to get our alert, our secretary that time, so he called me and said, he said, Pastor B, that he mentioned one brother's name that he just sent in some money, 100,000 naira. He was very, very happy. In my mind, he sent 100,000 naira. All right. I called his friend. I said, oh boy, your friend just sent money to the alumni fellowship. And it's 100,000 naira. He said, He said, it was only what I was telling him. I said, this is what I call wickedness. If people like him are giving 100,000 naira, where will I get the rest of the money from? I said, for the level that God has placed in him, he's giving 100,000. I said, what kind of insult is that? So his friend now told me. He said, sir, the person I was talking to, he said, please, can I confess something? I said, what? He said, me too, I give you 100,000 naira. I told him, you are very stupid. That was what I told him. I said, it's a younger person to me. I said, you are very stupid. I said, hang the phone and go and pay the balance. I said, hang this phone now. I'm off to the bank to go and put the balance. The level God has placed you, you give us 100,000, are you stupid? That was what I told him. He said, I'm sorry, sir. I said, hang the phone. You are still here. Hang that phone. I caught the phone. In the evening, he sent me a message. I didn't even ask him, I didn't check how much he put. I don't get the alert. In fact, I never used to know what everybody gave. I was president, but I didn't used to know. We had about three people that I used to know. You know, I wasn't even a secretary to the account. I didn't know. They just used to get my approval to do things. I told him, my friend, don't be stupid. So in the evening, he sent me a message. He said, sir, I have done the needful. I said, good. Now, I told them now. I said, you are here. I said, that same year, Pastor Courage gave us 100,000 naira. He's a pastor in Sokoto. I said, what kind of insult is this? I said, if you are giving me 100,000 naira, each family we host, do you understand? It costs, if you come with your wife, your children, when we calculate the whole cost, you understand? It comes to like 70,000 per head, per family. So you just paid your own portion. And meanwhile, you're one of the big boys. Use couples and go to come. Thank God they are single, so they share rooms. They had, if they bring 5,000, we will thank God for their lives.
There was one sister, a youth couple, she wanted to come. So I was just talking to her, are you coming? He told me the cost of transportation, she was saving somewhere very far. To go and come was almost a whole month's allowance. So I said, don't worry, come, I will refund your transport fare from my personal pocket. So when she came, I said, good. She told me the total amount. I gave her, I think, 75% or 80% of the money. I said, you two need to bear some cost. So, but then let's make it easy. If she told me her total cost was 20,000 to come, I said, all right, good. Here is 18,000. You put it, balance 2,000. Man, I don't know how to be telling people, God is going to bless you if you do something strange. No, I will abuse the life out of you if you don't do according to how God has blessed you. I told my brother, I said, please, next time I want to see 500,000 a lot. I want to see 1,000,000. And the following year, one day, I was just like, okay, brother, I was just talking. The same brother last day, no, and that's one of our top brothers. He's the financial secretary, was walking around. He said, okay, everything is okay, everything is okay. I said, what is the issue? I was supposed to give you. He said, no, sir, don't worry, you can send your money later. Everything is okay. I said, you're not talking to me. He said, yesterday when you were speaking, one brother went up, brought out his phone, and moved the millionaire. I said, yes, that is the will of God. That is the will of God. Yes. I said, that is the will of God. I said, Christians, you must have a giving habit. It's a sign of faith. Not waiting for somebody. That's why, if I see in a place, there's no story you want to tell. I don't even listen. I was in Abuja last week. One woman connected with this grace. The following day, the door opened. I don't believe you. So I don't, at least, I'm not looking at you like this. See, it's because of money you want to collect. You must lie like this. A man of God telling lies. But my message today is not to the men of God. It's to the people of God. Half of the reason why the men of God tell lies is that they are hungry. Oh boy. If you never chop, he said, give me food that is convenient for me. If I'm too hungry, I will steal. It doesn't make it right, but it's a temptation. Some pastors will get to heaven, God will flog them. You are angry. You used to lie. So God says, for lying is 50 strokes. God will call the guy, come forward. Gabriel, give him his strokes. No, Michael, I do that kind of job. Michael, come. Give him his strokes. The Lord will say, Michael, how many strokes? Say 25. Say, out of 100, he said 25. You are like, the guy's supposed to get the 100 though. No, don't worry. It's time for judgment. Assuming that they don't do it like that, I'm just giving us an illustration. You give the guy 25 strokes, and you are feeling very happy. And your name is Philip. All right. Say, Lord, you are showing him mercy. Oh, you gave him only 25. Thank you. Say, no. 75 is your own. Say, come, Philip, come forward. Michael, this is where the balance is going. Lord, I was not a preacher. I said, you are the reason why he was hungry. He said, you are the reason why he was hungry. You are collecting the 75. I blessed you. I planted you there. Said, this man must never go hungry. All you did, you said, these pastors, all they are looking for is money. That's all you ever said. You did not fulfill your ministry. Christians, let's bear that in mind. What is the spirit of the tithe? I don't believe. Not that I don't believe. God did not command Christians to regularly calculate 10% of whatever they earn and go to their church and say, this is my tithe. No. No, if you want to use the word tithe, use it the way you like. But make sure your church is supported. One day I was in a church service. One man came. Said, the Bible said, bring the whole tithe. I sat there. He says, we are not bringing the whole tithe. That all we do is calculate money. He said, if somebody dashes you a shirt, you will check the value of the shirt and take 10% and bring it to church. He says, the whole tithe. One brother beside me said, wow, that's true. I said, my friend, that's not true. I said, that is legalism. That is not the word of God. I said, that's not the word of God. That is legalism. I told him straight. I said, that's legalism. It's not the word of God. So somebody, it's your birthday, you're in trouble. On your birthday, we all come give you gifts. You'll now be doing calculator. Accountant. Because of tithing, come on, that's not Christianity, that's a joke. Even Judaism was not that bad. Jesus said, you tithe mint and cumin, just be careful. No, that's not, it's not Christianity. Christianity is generosity that's a habit. The spirit of the tithe is three things. One, God told them, one, you from the tithe, you feed the priests. The ones they took to the storehouse. I don't want to go into analysis of it, so let's not even waste our time. Let me not go into analysis of it. The summary of everything is this. One, the priest must eat. Two, the poor must eat. Three, the strangers must eat. And four, you must celebrate the goodness of God. Those are the things that were the spirit behind the tithe. But the people were wicked people, so God had to command it. But you have the spirit of Christ. He gives you liberty. But your liberty, I tell people that if you listen to me and you start giving less, you didn't get my point. I don't know where I get the point. Assume I meet somebody now who's legalistic, is a tither, is this, first fruits, you know, all those, you know. I don't know. You know that first fruit one is a joke anyway. But you know, is it first fruit is this and all of that. And they listen to me. Yeah, it's a joke. You know this one, your whole January salary must go to church. That thing is a lie. I don't know who started it. It stops now. Don't do that rubbish again, okay? Now, what was I saying? Okay, so you now hear me, you hear everything I'm saying, then you total how much money you are giving and it drops drastically. You didn't get my point. If you got my point, listen, you know, for an average earner in Nigeria today, I don't believe you can be generous and average, and give less than half of your income. That's my own. You can disagree with that. The Bible didn't say so. I'm just looking at it. Listen to me. I said, how to give to God? You know, I'll talk about it. Let me rush it. One, you must give to the work of ministry. And the worker of ministry, the pastors must eat. His blessing with the word of God, he must take of your substance. Bear that in mind. Okay? Then, you must give to whom God says you should honor. Like who? Your parents. You were in school. You didn't have a father. Your father was late. But you have one or two or three uncles and cousins who never forgot to send you money. They'll call you once in a while. How are you doing? They travel, they bring you clothes. They made sure you were sustained. They didn't want your mother to be under too much pressure. They are rich. But they have taken the role of the father in your life. You must honor them. Once in a while, I did my specialty training in Luth. Every December, I still remember my chief. It's not much. Christmas, yes, ma. Oh, it's your birthday, yes, ma. It's just honor. Why? He's somebody who God used to train me. He was very nice to us. You don't just forget such people and walk away. It doesn't mean they are poor. Probably richer than you are. But the Bible says a son honors his father. That's it. You give to that. Next, I told all of this, the answer my book. Next, you give to what the Bible calls the widows of your household. When the Bible says that those who don't provide for those of his household is worse than an infidel. He wasn't talking about a father for the children. That one was taken for granted. He was talking about you are in a house. You are well-to-do. The widows are hungry and they are going to church to collect, you know, welfare from church. He said you are worse than an infidel. It should be that with what the blessing God has given you, your auntie, the husband died, the children are young, but you're well-to-do. They shouldn't go around begging. At least give them something basic sustenance so that they don't have to beg. There are two or three of you in the family like that, you make sure all their fees are paid. They are the widows of your household. It's Christian responsibility. Oh, do I need to tell you? You have younger ones, you don't buy a job. And for those of you single women who don't want to marry a man because he has too many responsibilities, or for you single men who don't want to marry a girl because she's number one and she has five children and her mother is a trader, and the first, you know, she's just graduating, the first next one to her just entering university, the other four are in secondary school, one is actually about to finish primary school. You don't check and say, that Agnes girl is very good, but she has too many responsibilities. Let me pray for you. God will bless you with Jezebel. Oh, yes. She won't have any responsibility. When you see her like this, her makeup, everything in order. Don't give you any stress. But listen, the money, it's a prophetic word. The money you will have used to train Agnes's younger ones, this one will use to go to Switzerland, to Dubai. Pastor Mark, where are they going? To Vietnam. You understand? She will use that money to work her about. You will be crying every day. and one angel will be assigned to be reminding you. He said, ah, where is Theresa May? Oh, she my, that's your wife, oh, Theresa May. She traveled. The angel will just look and say, ah, a human being. Theresa May had traveled again. And last week she told me she was in Abu Dhabi. Last month. And he said, yeah, she came back last week, but then her classmates are doing reunion. And this and they are doing in London. Okay, she has gone. Okay. He said, hey, now wow. The angel will quickly do calculation for you. Say, hey, Abu Dhabi last time. You spent like 700,000, did you not? You say, yes. Yeah. So now she has gone to London. Under 1.5 million. He said, hey, this money can train 5 children, no. It's an angel sent by God to torment you. You'll be looking, say, what Theresa May is taking from me? I would love you to bless the whole of Agnes's generations. That's 1 year. 1 year. Listen. The reason why God brought Agnes into your life and gave you the job you have is so that you can train Agnes's younger ones. Listen to me. God loves them. He doesn't want them to suffer. How will a woman who is trading, how will only her take care of 6 children? You wicked soul. Meanwhile, you bought a brownie car for your pastor's last birthday. Moron. I'm sorry. Buy your pastor Tokumbo. You give Agnes his... No, say pastor, no. I'll buy you spare tire. Next year, I'll see you. Next year, I'll see you. Take spare tire. No, we have to prioritize these things. One brother in my church, one day, was thinking, he said, they wanted to buy pastor a car. I said, you sell your phone. I said, you are very stupid. Why would a university student sell his phone because he wants to buy pastor a car? The Nokia 3310. Why should he sell it? He said, David, his men gave him their blood. Did he drink it? Responsible leadership don't drink some things. If the young children go and sell the clothes they have, when they come, say, what? You did that? May the Lord bless you and increase you. Take it back. I appreciate your zeal. But my brother, don't worry. There are some people that have 2 houses here. Let them go and sell one. There are 2 sides to look at spiritual things. You look at your side, look at the other person's side. Yes, if you are the one and you love the man so much, you can sell your phone. But if I'm the man, I will not take it from you. So I will never encourage you to do it. The men of David fought at the peril of their lives to get him water. If he had known, would he have allowed them to go? When they brought the water, he said, what? You broke through the garrison of Philistines to fetch me water to drink? Are you people okay? Is that how important my thirst is? My thirst is 3 men's lives. No, I can't drink such things. Poured it away. Next time to fight for water, do you think they will go? They say, look, Eliab, sorry, Joab, I don't say it's a big fight, but God go throw away the water. He said, if we won't fight, we will fight, but water, I'm not fetching. Yesterday, where's the water? Throw away the thing, so leave him. Listen, God gives you a good wife, a firstborn, with 5 younger ones. The mother is struggling. They don't have any response to uncle. Then God now gives you a better job, better business. Let me tell you the truth. In 15 years, it will be over. It will be over. I don't look old to you, do I? I know I look older than a lot of people here, but do I look so old? But do you know, I've been married for 19 years this year, end of this year. So if I had to carry that kind of responsibilities, that means I've been over a few years ago. And I won't die. I will not die. Look, listen. You don't have to go abroad. There's nothing you are looking for there. The only reason why you travel all the time is because you have too much money. It's in the Bible. When money increases, the number of mouths that eat it increase. Cut that money down. You'll be amazed at the number of things you don't have to do. Suddenly your phone will last 3 years. You know, you bought S5, S6, S7. Note 7 exploded in your pocket. You are aware of it. Do you know why? You had the money. If you were training Agnes's younger ones, you will have bought S5. Next one is S15.
and the grace of God of the wilderness of Israel will be upon your phone. It will not die. It will not die. And you are not waiting for them to come and worship you after. This is our in-law that trained us. No. When they finish school, you wash your hand. All of you go. I've done my duty to God. I don't even like all of you, but I've done my duty to God. Just go. Tell your wife. Go. I'm serious. And you take pride in it. You see young men going around, and God has blessed them with small change. They don't want to marry a woman just because he has a lot of responsibilities. And like I tell the women, why don't you want to marry a man that has a lot of responsibilities? Because you want to be the only man, only thing he's doing. You're a problem for him to solve. If you're a helper, you wouldn't mind. And please, I'll keep on preaching this message. In a few years, it will be over. Listen, oh God, I don't have time to tell too many stories. I have seen these things again and again and again. It's people like that God end up blessing plenty. Yes. They are the ones that by the time they are 50 years old, they will have so much money, they won't know what to do with it. Why? God has created a grace around them so that when things were sapping money from there, money was coming. Now nothing is sapping it again. The money is still coming. As a Christian, we must have a give. That's the spirit of the tithe. We must have a giving culture. Of course, let's not forget the other poor people who are not your relatives. There are people that you give to is still God. And last of all, what did I say? Last of all. What did I say?
Last of all.
Give to yourself too. Give to yourself too. Of all the phones in the world, you only use Tecno and Infinix. I'm not saying Tecno and Infinix is bad, but after all this struggle in your life, you say buy Samsung. You don't struggle rich. God has helped you. Every time you're carrying power bank up and down. Oh, thank you. Hey. I told this man of God once. He said that, my wife won't use it. I said, women don't use phone. It's an ornament.
Yes, sir. Yes,
sir. What do you consider women with all these high-powered phones? When you buy a woman a high-powered phone, you're just dressing her up. It's like makeup.
Yes, sir. Yes,
buy your wife a good makeup to carry.
Yes,
it's because a man of God, that's why he's using, you want to see one gin chime. When he rings like this, bang, you know. When Chinese phone rings, look, if you're a preacher, you need to have a spare Chinese phone in case public address is not working. Hold that phone like this. Mega phone. No, listen. Just dress her up, small. What's your problem? Huh? He said, we can't carry this thing to heaven. I know. On the earth, let the woman look nice. Let the woman look nice. One day, it may sound funny, but strain yourself. Buy her something. Buy her a car that you can just manage to afford. You can't afford it too much, but let the car high small. May it shine small. When she drives by, say, yeah, that's my wife. I'm still paying. Yes, in the next 18 months, we'll finish paying. Don't worry. It will soon be over. Man of God. Let me think about it. This woman has struggled with you all this year. You know, say you don't need it. She doesn't need it, I know. But you can. It's called dressing somebody up. Listen, ornaments. Read your Bible. Ornaments are very godly. You won't go to hellfire. It's in the scriptures. We don't have time to go. They are very godly things. You will not go to hellfire. Let your wife stand up and then she will know that I'm being taken care of by somebody. And you yourself, you too. Huh? I know the shirt, once you know, this world is not your home, but change your shirt periodically. He said, souls are perishing. Jesus said, the souls perishing you have with you always. You know when they poured alabaster on the jar of nard on Jesus? Why can't we sell it and get that money in today's naira? Let's just 3,000. That jar was 900,000 naira. A jar of perfume. It's almost a million naira of Nigeria naira of today. They broke it on Jesus once in a while. Judas said, "Omo." offering money just miss like this? Couldn't we have sold it and given to the poor? These are the poor you have with you always. There are times, man of God, the poor you have with you, sometimes the messenger of God needs to smell nice. That's what Jesus taught us. Just that it's not the first. That's why I said last of all. If you have done all these other things, add that one to it. A friend of mine sent me that. He said, Banky, he said, I have $1,000 in rewards, some rewards to spend. He said, this time around, I want to spend it on myself. It struck me. He said, this time, I want to spend it on myself. What does that tell you? He has gotten this $1,000 again and again. He has never spent it on himself. He said, do you have any advice? And it was serious. I said, well, I said, one, you have what my friend Pastor Corey calls a good problem. It's not a bad problem, it's a good problem. How do I spend $1,000 on myself? He lives abroad. I said, one, buy a necklace that makes you look like Tupac. I said, that one, a joke. I said, but this next two, I said, the other seriousness. I said, these next two, I said, one, buy a gold and platinum ring and just wait. And just said, that ring, I bought it with $1,000. Or, I told him the brand of wristwatch, let me not say I'm marketing. I told him the qualities to look for. I said, it goes for like $1,000. I know he doesn't like watches. Just buy it and put it on your wrist. And once in a while, just look at it and feel good. These things I've said, they are very spiritual. It doesn't mean you're carnal. All of them are ways of giving to God. The first three, I put them, I don't know which one, those first three, I put them there deliberately as first. One, the work of God must advance. One of the things that annoy me the most, I go, they look the people like mine, I say, if I pray for you, you think I'm an MFMO, and you are the one I'm praying against, fall down and die. You know that kind of thing? Some people will be writing us that we should give them money for school fees. In my mind, I'm broadcasting the word of God to you free of charge. I will still look for money for school fees for you. You are not wondering why you will never prosper. These are the reasons why people don't prosper. Why don't you go to the local government office and knock on the door of the counselor? And say, okay, I'm from this local government. I don't have money. Help me with school fees. As for that pastor, I will not ask him. He's already broadcasting the word of God free of charge to us. If I cannot spend him, send him money, let me at least not disturb his soul. One day, a young man came to me like that. He said that, I looked at him. They called me out of a church service. I said, he said, he came to look for me. He came from somewhere. I said, you did? What is the problem? He said, he wants to talk about himself. Make a long story short, he needs connection for his business. He needs accommodation. Whether I can help him. I said, everything you have heard me preach, when did I ever tell people that needed accommodation to come to me? I asked him like that. Where you have come from? They don't have fruits. They don't have anything. You came empty-handed on a Sunday morning to a man of God, and you want to prosper your life. And you came to collect. When did you see anybody go to Elijah? I said, give me from what you have. He can pray for you. Go home. I hope you have cruse of oil. Let it multiply. That's what Elijah would do. Otherwise, he come and say, man of God is hungry. Give me something. I looked at there. I said, these boys, they don't have sense here. I said, any other thing? He said, no. I just left him there and walked back into my service. I was angry. I told him, I said, did you go to secondary school? He said, yes. Did you do economics? He said, yes. Have you ever heard of the labor? The boy said, yes. I said, labor is divided. I bring the word of God to your home free of charge. You have not asked me how I pay for it. I spend my energy, my labor, to preach that word. You have not asked me anything. Then you show up here, I should help you find accommodation. Are you okay? I said, if there's nothing else, I'm going. I just got up and walk back into service. Crazy people that you find in society. When you go and meet a man of God, go and ask for prayer. Don't go and ask for money. You bring money with you when you are coming. Some people go to church and they need help. Thank God, people like Pastor Max that listen. Me, when I pray for you, it's one of two things. Either you will prosper or you will die. No third option. Otherwise, just carry your wallah. Leave my doorstep. There's division of labor. Don't come and burden my soul. The Lord is good. I know what I'm telling you. So, listen, we must push the word of God out there.
It will be our resources. We Christians, we must make giving to the work of ministry. Now listen, giving to God is priority. So they want to finish their house first, then they will give. They want to finish them first, then they will help the younger ones. Listen, pay rent. Paying rent for the next 8 years will not make you die. I hope you're getting my point. It will make you die. Do these other things first. That is how to give to God. All of those things put together is what we call giving to God. It's not only in church you give to God, but you will give to God there too. It's not only in giving to the preacher you give to God, but you will give there too. It's not only in giving to your parents you give to God, you will give there too. Listen, you know that time when the priest was talking, I said, the guy is talking nonsense. He doesn't know the Bible. Don't follow him. He said, Jesus said that when you do to this once, you do unto me. That is part of it. That is not all of it. The poor not say, the things you sent to me, the Philippians, he said they were like a sweet smelling savour. Did Paul not say that?
Yes, sir.
He said it. People say, when you want to give to God, you go and look for the poor. There is what is called giving to a prophet because he is a prophet. It was the words of the Lord Jesus. Jesus gave you three. One, he talked about prophets. He talked about a righteous man. And he talked about my disciple. So that the priest shouldn't come and say that Jesus told us how to give to him. He's giving to the poor alone. It's not true. It's not true. And like I said, there are times you give to yourself and it's an offering to God. You just take your whole family. Say, today, mommy is not cooking. Nobody's cooking. Just carry yourself to one restaurant. Say, just eat. 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 And it's God's money. It's offering you are eating. And you finish that, they say, Father, thank you for this offering we are giving you today. I hope it is acceptable. You are rubbing your stomach like this. I hope it's acceptable before you, unto you. It is God. How did I get it? I told you the spirit of the tithe. God commanded them in Israel. Every year, you take a tenth and blow it in the presence of God. Imagine if Bill Gates was a Jew. Oh, Lord. $400 million must finish. When they pay you $4 billion dividends in 1 year, you now say $400 million in the presence of God. That one you will look for plane. Shatter all your friends. All your enemies. People you don't know. All of them. You go do party. Everybody must eat with gold utensil. Because it's $400 million we're talking about. That's when you know that money is hard to spend. But all of it is what? Giving to God. I hope you've gotten that point. Last of all, let me just finish this and then I want to close. Remember, please, we have a habit, we take a few questions. So, those of you who are in a hurry, you want me to answer some questions, please write your questions down. Pass it during the short break that we'll have. And then I will come up afterwards and take the questions, okay? But last of all, I need to just address this. I feel like many of us have it in mind. Yesterday, I even talked about it. But now I'm hurrying because of time. Now, how do we break the curse of poverty? Again, please pardon me. For time's sake, I have to rush it. I can't be going through the scriptures one by one. Is there poverty as a curse? The answer is an unequivocal yes. God, you read the Bible, God used to curse people with poverty. He cursed the house of Eli with poverty. Even Adam was cursed with his form of poverty. Said the earth will become hard. Thorns and thistles it will yield. From the sweat of your brow you will eat bread. It's poverty. It's there. It's a curse. God told the people of Israel in Haggai. He said you brought in much. He said you looked for much, you found little. The little you found, you brought it in, I blew upon it. The one that meant to enter your pockets or bags, the bag had holes. So the money comes in, the expenses are great. Are you getting my point? You labor much, you gather in little. They are spiritual principles. They work. There are curses that their own ways that you don't have a problem until you make money. There are ones you do. And listen, those curses come in two ways. Some they bring problems, some they don't bring problems, they just make you stupid. Just having ideas, you know, just having ideas. Like I said, just say, let's extend this church to the waters. Just having ideas. All of them are the curse of poverty. It happens. And listen, you cannot break a curse of poverty by changing geographical location. It will be like a drug. It will deaden you for a while. Then you go back into it. Things are not working in Nigeria, so I run to America. You get there, yes. The first 1 year, the edge of trouble will seem to leave. Then once you settle into the system, suddenly you have to also live in a house that's decent, drive a decent car. As you're trying to merge into the system, again, you go down to the bottom of their ladder again. And that's why you don't come back home again. You can't afford the flight ticket. People in Nigeria are angry with you that you have not sent them anything since you traveled. They don't know you are looking for somebody to send you something to. Please advise all your friends. If you are in a country like Nigeria and you have a job, things are just managing. Just keep on managing. Keep on trying. One day, breakthrough will come. If you relocate, let's leave it there. Many people have finished relocating. You've not seen them again because they can't afford to come. And listen to me, that's the majority. Not the minority. That is the majority. That's just the way it is. Let's bear those things in mind. You cannot solve the curse of poverty by changing geographical location. How do we end the curse of poverty? First of all, let's understand something. Jesus has broken our curse. There is no curse that's upon us that his blood did not tackle on that cross. That is the first thing we do. For that reason, now listen to what I want to say clearly. For that reason, don't accept any offer from anybody who says to you he wants to break a curse of poverty in your life. Because when he says that, he's first reinstating the curse. Once I was in the church, somebody said, everybody rush forward with $100 to break the back of poverty. I told my wife, say, all of them are claiming that poverty is in their lives. Jesus has broken the curse. Jesus has broken the curse. Let's bear that in mind. Next thing we must do is to now focus, because this is how it is. He said, the Son of Man will be lifted up like the serpent was lifted in the wilderness, so that whoever looks to him, all right, will be healed. What that simply means is this. You must keep your eyes focused on the Jesus that was crucified for you. Your eyes must be focused on him. When you are giving thanks in the morning, thank God. Don't be accusing yourself or accusing God. Be thankful to him. I thank you. Now, things are not different around you, but you accept what he has done by faith. Not looking for, where's my placenta? I heard they buried something in our village. Please ignore those things. Just thank God every day. Unless you're not a believer, in which case you give your life to Christ. What does it mean to be a believer? First, you, with your mouth, say, Lord Jesus, I believe in you. I give my life to you. Two, you start becoming a disciple. Or you become a disciple. You start learning his word. You can't claim to be a believer except you're a disciple. Only disciples are called Christians. Who are disciples? People who are constantly using their effort to study God's word and change their lives to become accustomed with that which God has spoken in his word. Doesn't mean they are perfect, but daily, that's their aim. A disciple of physics enters into university to study BSc physics. And every day is learning more physics. Are you getting my point? That's a disciple of physics. A disciple of Jesus Christ gets up every day. I learn more about Christ. I learn the patience of Christ. I learn what Christ has done for me on the cross. We constantly do that. Now, the next thing I want to say is that there are precepts of God that beget for us prosperity and end poverty. One of the things that establishes poverty in the lives of people who have a curse of poverty in their lives, the number of things, I'm rushing them now because of time. One, they tend to be very lazy. Two, they tend to blame other people for their problems. And these are the things you must overcome as a Christian. What I mean is, why are you not prospering? This country is not good. This country is not good. They are always, no, Buhari is the cause of the problem. This is the change you voted for. This is the change, that is, Buhari is the, when Buhari leaves power, whoever takes over from Buhari will be the cause of their problem. That's what they call irresponsibility. Not accepting their own, you know, they're taking up the responsibility over their lives. That's one important thing. They're telling that there are no jobs in this country. And I keep on telling them, have you gone to where they are washing cars? They say, don't come back. Have you gone to where they are washing cars? I said, they say, don't come back. Yinka is the one that told me about the man in Enugu who he learned, you know, to, you know, they call lay block. Yeah. He's a mason, but he's very good at laying blocks straight. Not plastering, laying blocks. Are you the one who told me the story of the guy? He kept on laying blocks until he had enough money to buy a taxi. He started driving his taxi. And after some time, he's still driving his taxi, right? But occasionally you call him, you have a job. He said, no, he got a block laying job. So he's quickly laying blocks. Then he'll go back to, that is, the man is hustling his way, life away. He's not there waiting for Buhari to change or Goodluck Jonathan to come back before he begins to make progress. Look, Hagar was crying. An angel tapped her. Look at the water there. When you are crying too much, you don't notice your water. If you open your eyes, you will see there are opportunities around you. A young man, I heard a story recently. When I heard the story, it was such a beautiful story. They said he had 11 cars. Why does he have 11 cars? Taxes, all of them taxes. He's a university graduate, no work, no work, no work. Ah, the guy said, no work. These taxes they are driving, he managed to get one. I don't know how he got one. He did it so well, it became 11 in his hands. He drives his taxi. He's a university graduate. I tell people, the America you are running to, the thing you are going to do there, do it here first. You will be surprised that you also break through here. They say he drives his taxi in such a manner that once you use him once, you will come back. You use him once, you will come back. His car is always very clean, perfumed. And when you come in, the day's newspaper is always on the back seat. You will know this is a man who went to school. He will buy the paper and keep it for you there. I say, good morning, sir. You enter. Oh, you see, Guardian, you pick it. As it's driving, you are reading. The car is always smelling fresh. Which means it's also always smelling fresh. One day, one of my classmates say, oh, help me, I'm in a taxi. But at the sweat of the driver, it has filled the whole place. What do? I don't want to embarrass him. I say, help him. How do you help him? Tell him, wind down. Your sweat is not letting me breathe. So that next time he will change now. You should be dashing into Mr. B's. Just go behind, quickly have a shower and come back. And use antiperspirant for goodness sake. Don't wind up in the car and then, I don't know which one I prefer, the mold or smoke. Or no, the suit in Port Harcourt. But this young man did his work that well until he had under his control 11. And guess what? He's still driving. How do you break the back of poverty? Listen to me. One, know you have been redeemed in Christ Jesus. Your problems are not unique to you. Read the story, Demos Shakarian. Demos Shakarian's grandfather. Was the grandfather? Yes, the grandfather. No, I think it was the father. Yes. Yeah. The father is a young boy. That's what happened to him. He wasn't doing well. He went to church to pray. And they already had they didn't have a curse. They had the promise of a blessing over them when they left Armenia. Yet they got to America, there was no blessing, apparently. Things were rough. The father had died as a 17-year-old boy, or 16. He took over providing for the whole family, his mother and all his younger, and all his sisters, some of them older than him, some of them younger than him. They went to church and prayed. Somebody opened the Bible like this, put a finger there. I told you, God leads in different ways. That's not, some of us say, that's not spiritual. But listen to me, begat the most shakari you know today, because a man opened the Bible and put a finger After they finished praying, just opened the Bible and put a finger and looked at where the finger fell. I said, the Bible says, blessed shall thou be in the field. They closed it. Said, God said, blessed shall thou be in the field. So he went to go and start selling vegetables because they produce on the field. From there, he noticed he could do dairy. Started doing milk. Make a long story short. He did that one until at the point in time he had 1 million cattle. 1 million. 1,000 times 1,000. But things were not easy at the beginning, but they kept on trying. This man, Peter Daniels, he said he started, I think, 3 or 4 businesses that all failed until he entered into real estate and there he prospered. If it's some of us who say that I have near success syndrome, there's nothing like that if you are redeemed in Christ Jesus. Just keep trying. Eventually, you'll find your own place. After some time, he found his place until he became exceedingly wealthy. He didn't say near success, go for deliverance. He didn't understand deliverance. He said, ever since he believed the gospel of Jesus, he knew he was a child of the king. He had to do well in life. And he kept on until he did. One single offering will not change your life. Don't let anybody be deceiving you. I've said it before, make giving a habit. Make it what? A habit. Make it priority. It's not what you do. You know, people say, I have ideas. One day I will do this. No. It is what you are doing today that you will do one day. I don't know whether you are getting my point. Make it a habit that has begun in your life today. Be diligent. Throw away your pride. I've seen people come to tell me before, say, God has not told me to do this. I said, but God told you to beg. Did God tell you to beg? To the man who can beg, any work is good. I don't know what is my point. Because any work is better than begging. People say, I don't know my calling in life, and you are jobless. If you don't have a job, everything is your calling. Carrying water on your head is your calling. Washing cars is your calling. Being somebody, you know, people are looking for responsible drivers. And you know how to drive, but because you have a certificate, you are too big. Meanwhile, you're hungry. Why don't you just tell somebody, look, I can drive very well. I give you guys 12 months. This is what you're going to pay me. And I get lunch, no problem. At the end of I'm going to save half of this money. At the end of 12 months, I will start my own business. Ibukun Awosika used to say something. That if she could get one of these young graduates to drive her. Ibukun Awosika is currently the chairman of First Bank. Yes. She said this many years ago. That they won't agree. That just need a young man responsible. Be my driver. He said, what you will hear me say, in 1 year you will be rich. That is, you're not there. Some people don't know the bit and be talking too much. You're not supposed to talk. Enter, but keep your ears open like you're not hearing. You will hear madam make conversations that will make you rich. He said, but no, they are all too big. They want to meet her. Please, I need a job in the banking hall. Then she was not chairman of Union Bank, or First Bank. He said, just drive me around. And believe me, of course, when I did my driving business, it was my relative, so it was not a job. But it was a job, but it was not a job. You get my point. And that was what I did every day. But it was because I was living with my auntie, you understand, and I wasn't doing anything. I just finished NYC. But God used that period to open my eyes to many things. That was when, you know what I learned from it? A man's life does not consist in the abundance of things which he possesses. That's one. Secondly, I realize that wealth is a gift of God. You can't struggle for it. Why? As a doctor, I would earn 6,000 naira a month. The people that I was hanging around were wearing shoes of 25,000. Now, 25,000 naira shoe doesn't look like a big thing. Okay? But then, a doctor earns 6,000 naira a month. Fresh Post NYC. 25,000 was the cheaper one of their shoes. The more expensive one was 50,000 bucks. My auntie's shoes and bag. That time, dollar was about 70 naira. Her shoe and bag was $400. And my salary was 6,000 naira. I just be driving about hearing the people talk. She just say, Kale. I said, yes, auntie. What are you doing today? I said, nothing. I want to go to the embassy. No, my other driver has left. Enter motor now, let's go now. I went everywhere. That's when I told myself I would never suffer to go abroad. We would drive to the embassy. Of course, now big woman I carry. I see all these jobless, you know, Nigerians trying to go abroad. CQ. CQ. May I just next time motor, they look them like this. To go where? I told God, if you can't bless me in this country, keep the blessing for heaven. I don't want. Leave her like that. But me, queue like this because of what is this heaven they are taking visa to? I said, Lila, I know they do. I will never do. People say, I didn't have anything. I was poor like everybody else. But I said, this one, I will not do. Maybe pride, or the spiritual good pride, though. The confidence of Christ was inside me. I said, no. I said, I will never queue. I never say for what. I know when God wants to do things, the first time, it was years later, that I went to American embassy. Because I always said I won't queue. You know what God did? He made sure I did not queue. By that time, of course, things were online. You book online. I booked online. I chose my time for 9 o'clock. That was the time they gave me. And typical of me, I got to their gate about like 30 minutes before 9. So just waited. They just said, okay, everybody should join the queue. When it was 9 o'clock so that they could go in. That was in Abuja. So typical of me. Very funny human being. I just strolled from where I was standing. Walked gently. I was the last to get to the queue, which meant I was in back of the queue of the 9 o'clock people. Then I heard the two people in front of me whisper something. One said, yes, I paid. I said, you paid for your visa. I had not paid. So I told them that, but what I read, said you could come with cash. I had $100 in my pocket I was going to give to them. They said, so I just left the queue, went to the window and said, please, do I have to pay? But your online, you guys, on your website, you said I could come with $100 cash. Then I said, no, you have to pay in the bank. Hi. So which meant I had to now leave. As the queue was forming, I left, went to the bank. They told me to go and pay in one UBU. By the time I came back, guess what happened? There was no queue. They just opened the door and I just walked in. That it might be fulfilled the word of the Lord that I came by his prophet. God. I said, I won't. And that's how God did it for me. I just walked in there and I offered the story. I liked telling the story. When it was my turn to be interviewed, they had a panel of people interviewing. There was one black American lady. Tough babe. You know the tough babe? They were all ladies. This one was tough. Because you could hear everything they were saying. She was hard. You were guaranteed you get to that place, you ain't getting that visa. So one guy beside me, a young lawyer, we're talking. I said, man, this girl now, wow. He said, if I remember, one guy had 4 million naira. This was more than, it's like 11 years ago. 4 million naira in his account. The lady said, you have 4 million naira bank balance? You say you're a civil servant. How come? Bam, denied. Bye-bye. One of the other ladies, white. This one's black. One of the other ladies, white. It was my turn. And she was just issuing the visa, you know. Nice girl. It was now my turn to go to her place. I said, okay. It will work out. But as soon as she left that person, she just closed the door and went for her tea break. Hey, this tea break has been working in my life for a long time. I don't want to tell you other stories. When tea break, I just stop something like that. So that particular day, next time they called, next, it was this tough babe. That young lawyer beside me said, you know, he fell for me. You know what I did? I stood up. I told him, watch. I said, just watch. I just walked up to her. We started. Can I have this? Can I have that? Do you have your pay slip? I said, no. But you have a bank statement? I said, yes. Can I have it? I pushed it to her. Two bank accounts. Pushed them to her. She looked at the two balances, looked at me, looked at them again, did a small calculation, looked at me. Looked at them again, dropped the papers, looked at me, and did her hand like this. And I said, what is the problem? He said, your balance. I said, what's wrong with it? He said, it's too low. I said, you asked whether that was a salary account. I said, yes. They paid the money, they have spent it. The lady looked at me like, what? I said, listen, you wanted to know whether it's a salary account. I told you it is. I have spent the money. She was just looking at me like, which kind of Nigerian is this? I said, listen, I could have beefed that account to impress you. I said, but what is the point? You just want to know where I work. That's why I brought this one. So he said, okay, so how are you funding the trip? I said, it's a training program. It's being sponsored by some European body. Actually, to her, she looked and said, she was still looking at me. I was looking at her like this. We started laughing after a while. I said, you need more proof that I am going to come back. She said, yes. I said, what do you have to offer? I said, you want a marriage certificate? They said, forget that. Do you know how many Nigerians abandoned their wives and children? I said, so, there you go. I said, I told her simple. I don't have any other thing. She looked at me, After a while, she said, okay, can you come back on Tuesday to pick up the visa? I said, no, I come from Enugu. That's rather far. A friend of mine can pick it for me. Let me have his name. I wrote it down for them. Thank you very much. Bye-bye. And I told that young man, watch. You see, you know what? I wasn't going to die if you did not give it to me. You understand my point? I wasn't begging anybody. It was a training program. I was going to stay for like a month. If you don't give me, I'm going back to work. Waiting. A lizard in Nigeria would not become an alligator in America. That's what we learned those days. Really? But back to my driving days. I learned a lot my driving days. Driving people who I saw that men made in one transaction what I needed to work for 1 year. 6,000 naira a month is 72,000 naira a year. These men made it in one transaction. And they didn't leave their offices. So I told God, if you don't bless me, let me remain poor. I have only one question, a request. Don't give me a wife. Suffering is easy when you're alone. So once I'm married, I need things to be good. What am I going to say? Listen, if we are ready, if we are ready to hustle in quotes, do whatever God has placed in our hands, you'll be amazed. One man back in my state, last I knew, I was talking to my mother, say he has a university license now. Like, what? When I was a child, you know what he used to do? Extramural lessons to prepare people for jump and work. Now it's a university. When I was in secondary school, just leaving secondary school, that's what he was doing. Now the man, I don't know how far they've gone, but he had a university license. Listen, there's no curse of poverty in your life if you're a Christian. You can have difficult times, it's not a big deal. You don't have what everybody else has, doesn't mean you are poor. I forgot to read that church in Smyrna now. The church that Jesus said, I knew of your poverty. He said, but you are rich. Listen, let me just make a statement. Everybody listen here. The curse of poverty in your life is broken. Amen. Jesus has broken it on his cross. Amen. The curse of poverty in your life is broken. Amen. Jesus has broken it on the cross. Amen. You are free. Let's rise to our feet to pray. I'm done with my teaching. Let's rise to our feet to pray.